Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today, filling in for John Hockenberry. And President Trump made a very special visit to the estate and gravesite of President Andrew Jackson on Wednesday in Nashville, Tennessee. He laid a wreath and gave a military salute to pay tribute to the former president in honor of his 250th birthday.
And on this, his 250th birthday, Andrew Jackson's Magnolia is a sight to behold. I looked at it, actually, this morning. Really beautiful.
That magnolia sits outside the Oval Office. That's how President Trump gets to see it every morning. And his fondness for the former president is no secret. He had Jackson's portrait hung in the Oval Office, and he's criticized the removal of Andrew Jackson's image from the $20 bill. Trump's ascent to the presidency on this wave of populism, winning over working class voters and promising to drain the swamp, has drawn a lot of comparisons to Andrew Jackson. Some people have even called Trump supporters Jacksonian Republicans. But Jackson's popularity for him has eroded over time. His legacy as a pro-slavery president and his infamous policy of Indian removal that led to the Trail of Tears has aligned him with white nationalists. But his gravesite has welcomed visits from more than one president, and we're going to talk about that with Barbara A. Perry. She's Presidential Studies Director at the Miller Center at the University of Virginia, and she joins me. Dr. Perry, it's great to have you.
Great to be here, Todd.
Well, other presidents, as I said, have visited Andrew Jackson and his mansion. It's not just Donald Trump. FDR visited, LBJ, Ronald Reagan, and others. What are politicians saying? What are they trying to get out of connecting themselves with Andrew Jackson's legacy when they do these visits? What's the subtext here?
The subtext is, I think, for all of these presidents, I am one of you. I am a man of the people. And that's exactly what we continue to remember Andrew Jackson for, and in a good way. You've pointed out, of course, why his star is dimming in the pantheon of presidents and that he's dropping in the polls of historians who rate presidents. But I think for Republicans and Democrats alike, who all want to be connected to the people, he's the go-to person because he founded Jacksonian democracy, which enlarged the electorate and brought in the common man.
And while that star is dimming, though, is there a subtext also? You know, President Trump's main slogan, make America great again. It seems to me he's saying, I don't care if his star is dimming. That just proves my point that we have to go back to the way America was and make it great again.
I think you're absolutely right, Todd, on that. And I made a note to myself about this morning in our conversation that I think that Andrew Jackson's star is dimming and he's dropping in the polls for the very reasons that Trump won. And that is Trump's claims against PC are the very things that have caused Jackson's star to dim and his poll ratings to drop. And I think that Trump wears that as a badge of honor.
Well, let's listen to President Trump talking about President Jackson as he was honoring him yesterday.
From poverty and obscurity, Jackson rose to glory and greatness, first as a military leader and then as the seventh president of the United States. He did it with courage, with grit, and with patriotic heart. And by the way, he was one of our great presidents.
So President Trump isn't comparing himself directly, I don't think, to Andrew Jackson. I mean, he doesn't have a humble beginning story himself. But it seems like he's trying to invoke an idea of America here for his voters, a bootstrap story, a rise from obscurity to greatness.
Absolutely. And it's back to the populist message. Again, man of the people, someone who rises up. And remember, even though we know the facts are that Trump didn't come from nothing, he did tell that narrative that he was a self-made man, if we recall in the campaign. So I think he makes the link to Jackson in that way. But I think to your point and the point that the president raised validly yesterday in Nashville at the Hermitage, at the gravesite of Andrew Jackson, was that Jackson was a patriot. He was a national. He put America first, if you will, and he put the Union first at a time when we saw the beginnings of what would split us apart and cause the Civil War with the nullification crisis, the tariff crisis, John C. Calhoun talking about South Carolina seceding from the Union.
Well, let's compare some of the histories from Jackson's time in the 30s in the minute or two that we have left, because the country is divided now. yes, in a similar way maybe to what it was then, but seemingly not as divided, right, as it was when Jackson was president in the 1930s and the country was headed towards civil war. Is it a mistake to compare Jackson's time to the current divisions in American society and say that Trump and Jackson are presiding over similar Americas?
I think it's always a fraught exercise to compare time periods that are separated by centuries and decades. But I think that we do see this division that Jackson himself worried about. And the tariff crisis itself and the bank crisis was sectional. And since we see ourselves now divided into sectionalism, into regions of the country that we saw in 2016 in the election and that helped to make Trump president through the Electoral College, I think that in that sense there is a parallel to draw, and the lessons of history are important to learn.
Some of the lessons of history, of course, play right into what we've already talked about, which is Jackson's star sort of on the descent in the eyes of history. He's on the $20 bill. He was, of course, celebrated. That's on the downswing now. There's a counter narrative to what Donald Trump is broadcasting with Make America Great Again, and a lot of it has to do with how we now view Jackson.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right that, again, because of his slaveholding, which we have to admit that our greatest presidents, including George Washington and the founding fathers, were, of course, slave owners. Most of them were from the South. But we should also remember that in the case of Jackson, more time had marched on. He never saw slavery as a moral issue. This is one of the issues, I think, to this day in the Black Lives Matter campaign, which is why progressives have moved away from Jackson. I think why Trump and his supporters are embracing him.
And also his famous, infamous, if I have to say it, policy of Indian removal. It led to the Trail of Tears. Underreported in history classes, at least in my history classes, but one of the dark stains on American development.
Absolutely. A blot on the American record, to be sure, a moral blot. Interestingly enough, the only law that the only major law that passed in the 8 years of Jackson, because he had actually vetoed 12 pieces of legislation coming out of Congress. He was often at odds with them, but the one piece of major legislation that he signed into law was the Indian Removal Act.
Well, President Trump, as many other presidents have, makes a visit to the mansion of Andrew Jackson to try to claim some of that legacy of the common man and American populism, even as American history and American culture has moved on in many ways. Dr. Barbara A. Perry, President, Presidential Studies Director at the Miller Center at the University of Virginia. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be with you, Todd.
Hello, this is Kathy Hornick in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I think we should remember our history realistically. Our founding fathers were the best and the worst, and that's at the same time. And we can't pretend the ugly parts didn't happen, but we can be proud of the progress we have made and just keep pushing forward.
Well, President Trump's visit to Andrew Jackson's tomb and mansion has us asking you how we should remember the dark chapters of American history, and we've got lots and lots of context from you throughout this hour. 877-8-MY-TAKE is always the number to call. You can head to our Facebook page. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.